This is the Top Agents Playbook Podcast, episode 26.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook Podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Each time I record a podcast, I'm never really sure what the main theme or message will be until it's over and I've listened back to the entire recording. When I listen back, I make notes and the main point of the message bubbles to the surface and that becomes the name of the episode. But this interview with Brisbane agent Patrick McKinnon was a little different. When I finished listening back to my call with Patrick, I had so many themes and ideas. Here's a guy who's earned $750,000 in gross commission in his first year in real estate. Quite a stunning accomplishment in an industry famous for churning and burning rookie agents in their first 12 months. But when you listen to Patrick explain how he did it, there's a number of important contributing factors. So I listened again, and what came through is what I can only call the hustle. The dictionary defines hustle in a few ways, but the definition I like is to proceed or work rapidly or energetically, which is exactly what Patrick does. He's quickly learned what to do next and pours everything he has into doing it to the best of his ability. What comes through loud and clear to me is an urgency around the mission and a passion for systems. If something needs doing, do it. If your software is underperforming or outdated, change it. If you like this interview with Patrick and you want to see him live, he's a featured speaker at Real Estate Recharge on the Gold Coast in a few weeks' time, which is October 2015. At the time of going live with this interview, there are about 50 passes left. So if you'd like to catch Patrick and learn from an impressive list of top agents, send me an email and I'll get you the link to grab a pass. My email address is ray@bestagentshq.com. And I'll also include my email address in the show notes with this episode at topagentsplaybook.com. I also want to thank Patrick for sending me his summary of role definitions and daily task lists for buyer manager, sales associate, assistant, and agent, which you can download in the show notes for this episode at topagentsplaybook.com/26. Well, Patrick McKinnon, welcome to Top Agents Playbook. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Ray. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for your time. Let's start at the start. How did you get into real estate?
Mate, I was actually ex-retail in Australia, and I got sick of, selling TVs, and I ended up working for a financial planning company that I sourced property for their clients.
Okay. So
self-managed super fund kind of setup, and I ended up eventually getting into the marketing side of real estate. So did that for about 4 years, selling, you know, off the plan and brand new house and land packages kind of stuff to investors.
How long ago was that, Patrick?
12 months ago.
Okay.
So not really polar opposite to what a real estate agent does. In investment, you've got a lot of stock and no clients.
Yeah.
In real estate, you've got no stock and heaps of people wanting to buy.
Yeah.
So, it's a very, very different kind of job. But, you know, you're just signing contracts, I guess. So I've always been a salesman, whether you're selling off the plan, selling new, selling old. I think those is the kind of core of what a real estate agent should be in my head. I 12 months ago, my wife wouldn't let me travel anymore. So, been on a plane a lot, obviously, with the other job. And, we have a little girl now. So a 4 month or 3.5 month old little girl. So I just didn't want to be on a plane and, you know, missing all those moments.
So, of course. So you changed your career to suit your lifestyle. Most people do it the other way around.
Well, you've got to, like, I was on pretty good money and I had to look at, you know, I looked at all different industries in sales where I could make, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 a year, and this was probably the easiest I looked at, that I could do it very quickly as well, because, again, in a lot of roles you've got to build, and real estate was the norm. Every single trainer says, oh, you've got to establish yourself for 3 years. I was like, nah, that doesn't suit me. I need to go, and I want the big money now.
So, yeah,
Yeah. You know, you didn't listen to those guys that said you got to pay your dues, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no way. I don't believe in paying your dues at all. I believe if there's money out there, it's a till. If you can get it to ring, it's that's all it is, isn't it? So I leverage every single thing. I still leverage, you know, I got into this and I'm like, well, there's all these buyers and they don't have anything to buy. Well, why wouldn't I sell them some new stuff as well? So I still sell probably one or two off the plan stuff to new buyers as well, right, because I have those networks. And, you know, people don't think outside the box. Like, I was just talking to one of the biggest real estate agents in Queensland yesterday, and she's the same. She sells, you know, two or three brand new off the plans a month to her buyers because they're just looking for something. She goes, well, why don't you buy here? She gets 3% for doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's simple. It is a till, and you've just got to get it to ring. And the quicker you figure that out, rather than just saying, oh, I've got to, and look, yes, you've got to build up, you know, everyone says the 1,000, 1,200 homes, whatever, and you just market that core area. Well, that's great, but that can take 3 years. I'll take anything.
Right.
I'll just take money. So
yeah.
To me, I'm not, yes, I'm building my core area, but that is going to take 3 years. So if someone says I've got a place to sell and I can sell it, and it's in their best interest that I can sell it, I just won't take anything that, if it's not in their best interest, I won't do it. But
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you because I had heard through our mutual friend Luke Newton that you'd had a fairly meteoric rise to fame, and admittedly, so many of the interviews that we have here on Top Agents Playbook are by men and women who've been in real estate, I don't know, 5, 10, even 15 years, even longer, which is awesome. But yeah. I'm talking to somebody who's been in real estate for 12 months. So can you tell me about your numbers? How many listings you're carrying at the moment? What sort of sales volume would you do in a month?
My average fee is pretty mixed, as I said, because I do such a broad kind of area. But in my core market, my average fee is quite high. But the reality is, I only sell probably one or two a month in my core market. So
right.
my average real fee is probably about $12,000. So it's not massive because I do a lot of units. I do a lot of little stuff as well as the high end. So I'm doing some $2 million. But year to date, with this month, if we just close out these last couple of deals, I'll end on $7,000 to $7,500.
Okay.
If everything lands, we'll end up with 750 GCI. So that's from a standing start with no database.
So that's faster than a Porsche. That's from zero to 750 in 12 months. There's my headline right there, I think, Patrick. I told you it'd come out.
I thought I was killing it, and then there's this other guy that did over $1 million his first year. But, I don't think there's many people that have done it. I know of a few of McGrath's agents that have done, you know, 500, 600 a year that John was saying the other day, but there was this guy in the Central Coast that probably doubled me almost. Who knows his story, but, you know, it's possible to do it. And I guess that's from looking back. I've just hired a friend of mine and he has no real estate experience, but he's very well known in the market that I want him to sell in. And I said to him the other day, I said, well, I've made all the mistakes now. I've done 750. I want you to do $1 million. You're as good as me, I believe, from a business acumen and a sales acumen and
yeah.
how you can sell, because that's all it is. It's talking to people. And if you speak to, you know, the best agents, like when I started, I made so many mistakes. I did my first quarter, I did 130 or 140 GCI
right.
from a standing start, which is about 12 sales.
Wow.
And I made so many mistakes. And I said to him, you could do more than that. Like you could do 200, 250 first quarter. It's 20 sales or 15
yeah.
sales. Like you've just got to go out and get the listings. But the problem is getting in the door is one thing. When you get there and you don't know what you're talking about. So I think the big thing that I look back and Tommy Panos says, what advice would you give to people when they're first starting is really, really know your shit back to front, upside down and know the streets. I still don't, but I have enough story time that I can kind of get around that. You've just got to get across to people that you know what you're talking about. And then the iPad presentation, the bells and whistles and all that just doesn't impress people.
No.
People want to see what you've sold, and that's also difficult. You've got to get a few runs up against the board, but just sell. It doesn't matter. Like if you sell a unit in a really nice street for 300 grand and there's $1 million homes on that street, you can still say, hey, I sold one on X street. you know, they don't really care. You know what I mean? So you've got to start somewhere. But I guess it's getting those runs on the board so you know, hey, this is what I've done. I do know what I'm talking about. And act with, like, confidence and enthusiasm will get you every listing. Like, I went into one last night and I didn't even bring out a book or bring out anything. It was just done with words, like, yeah, all verbal. Like, we just sat there talking, having a beer. He goes, you want a beer? Yeah, have a beer. And then you just sit there talking the whole time and the deal's done. You know, yeah, you've got him. It's, yeah, not about doing paperwork. It's not about impressing them. And it wasn't in my core area. It's a very expensive home. And I just said to him straight up, I said, look, mate, why you want me? Why am I here? And he's like, well, I don't like the local agent that's number one here. I go, that's fair enough. And then we just had a chat. And it was just purely down to, did he like me as a bloke? And if they like you as a person, that's 90% of the thing, you know, I reckon.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. You said you sat there and talked, but what you probably did is what you just told me what you did then is you asked questions. And,
correct.
And when you ask the right questions, like, why am I here? Which is a great question to ask, I think.
call a spade a spade.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, life is short, or, you know, let's get on, let's get into it. I should say, Patrick, that you're with Coronis Real Estate in Brisbane, who are the heavy hitters in your capital city. Am I correct in saying that Coronis is the largest independent agency in Australia?
Yeah, we got 22 offices, and right, it's all owned in family business, yep, pretty much.
Yes.
They're going to go to 50 offices.
Yes.
And their training and process is obviously a lot of the old school is throw people at a desk and here's a phone, doesn't work, and you're set up for failure. Coronis do amazing training and some amazing, I guess, mentoring. You've got a lot of, they've got area leaders. It's set up around like Flight Centre. So you've got, Flight Centre have this village culture kind of thing, and you play, so out of the 22 offices, there's three villages and we all fight against it, four villages now, and we fight against each other. Like, we're like listings and all that. So it's very, I think like the reason I joined Coronis was I wanted to be a part of a team. And when you have that kind of team mentality, like I used to work for Harvey Norman and, you know, the sales team, it wasn't about who's, you know, making the most money. It's all about who's coming first. And I think that's probably one of the best drives people can have as a salesman is you want to be number one, and the Coronis culture is great for that. So you're not just lumped at a desk with a phone. They actually train you. They teach you what to do. But, you know, if you follow those processes, you can do a lot more. You can do some amazing things.
Of course. Well, to do what you've done in 12 months is pretty awesome. So I'm going to ask the question that's probably on every listener's lips at the moment. Let's unpack that. Tell me what you're doing or what you did. Talk about your first quarter. How did this Porsche take off? What did you do?
So Coronis have a thing they call an ISA, which is immediate seller appointment. And now that means you've got to find someone that's putting their property on the market within the next 7 to 10 days and the appointments within the next 3 days. Now, I say that to real estate agents and they're like, how do you find one of them every day? That's impossible. Well, it's not impossible. You just got to call 100 people. So the next part is, well, you've got to find 100 numbers to call, which means you've got to go through. Coronis have 22 offices. So they've got a pretty big database, and you can go through that database. You can, you know, go through RP data. You can knock on doors. You can do whatever you want. But
right,
the easiest, you want to be talking to people. So a friend of mine, Matt Lancashire, who owns Ray White New Farm, very successful agent, his prospecting plan is the same thing, speak to 100 people a day, and that's his new goal. And that's what I'm getting back to now, is getting on the phone and speaking to people. But so from a standing start, I was doing that. I was talking to a lot of people, but what I was saying was not right. Like, I was talking about trying to be, you know, an agent and, you know, doing the hard sell on people. Hi, you're selling. It's just crap.
Like, right,
you know, so many mistakes. But I guess, for the people out there that are listening, they probably know what to say and just be a human being, ringing people and saying, hey, mate, how are you, buddy? Yeah, good. How's the kids? Yeah, cool. And even if you don't know them, like, yeah, cool, guys. What are you guys up to for Christmas? And start a conversation that's not about real estate. And you don't, you know, like, soft answers. And I was just doing so many calls. So I was up till probably 12 o'clock at night every night preparing the phone numbers for the next day, like a targeting properties that are on the market was my biggest expired
expired listings, yes.
Yeah, and I was getting them and then selling them because of my enthusiasm. Like, I sold about, in my first quarter, 7 of the 14 that I sold were on the market for 100 days plus, and I sold them all within a month.
With another agent.
With another agent. And, you know, it was pure just enthusiasm. And all the houses, like one of them was on the market for a year. They wanted, they had it on the market for $850. I asked them what the number they want. They said they wanted, you know, $820, $830. We listed it, offers over $799, and we sold it for $830 within 3 weeks. You know, every time I just kept doing it. And I'm like, what am I doing? Is it me or whatever? But, like, it's one thing just saying to people, hey, I can do a better job than the guy down the road. But you actually can. If you are, you look good, like I dress to the nines every day. This was in summer in Brisbane, which is 30 degrees, but I wear a suit and tie every day. I dress nicely. I look the part, and I very, like people would rock up. I'd rock up to a listing and people would go, oh my God, take off that jacket. And I'd be like, how much is your house worth? Because that's the hardest thing to, I guess, get out of them what they want for the house. Like, how much do you want for the house? And they'd go, $900,000. I go, you're going to pay me about $30,000. You want me to keep the jacket on? And they just laugh. Instantly, you've made them. And my biggest thing with sales is make them laugh, you win.
Yeah.
Getting humor and getting things across to people. People just want to deal with a human being. So I guess that first quarter to get back to your original question is be a human being and get in front of as many people as you can. And back up what you say. So it was purely just, I got probably 3 expired listings, sold them all that first. The first month I sold one house, second month I sold 3, and then the last month I sold another 3. And one of them was $1.3 million my first quarter. And, you know, those big deals help. But what I find now is important is to really focus so that your stock keeps turning over, to have a good amount of, you know, sub $400,000, 400 to 7, and then over, depending on what marketplace. Some marketplace people deal in, there's only one price point. But, you know, I think having a good mix of properties to sell that, you know, if you have, like those bigger houses to sell are hard to sell. The little ones sell really quickly. So, you know, you want to get your confidence and you keep that tool ringing.
Of course.
That makes sense.
Of course.
You know, so I'll hit units for a week and make sure I have a couple of units at any one time, and then I'll try to hit some house and lands and make sure I've got the mum and dad kind of 500 to 700 price point, because that's the stuff that really, really sells. And, you know, they're the easy, that's easy. And then try to, you know, pick off your bigger price point. So every area's got a nicer price point. So aim for the high, aim for the low, aim for every bit, little part.
Yeah, of course.
Still ringing.
Yeah, of course. Tell me, Patrick, when, just let me rewind for one sec, when you started, these were cold calls that you were making? Like, to people that have never spoken to you before, obviously? Correct.
Yeah.
Unless they bought a TV, I guess.
Yeah. No, not that they don't want to talk to me. But, no one wants, the only people that want to talk to you in real estate are buyers, you know what I mean? So, on the markets are not easy to talk to, but to give you an idea, like, I would ring up, so if I couldn't get their number out of the white pages, or we didn't have it, our database, like and if they've ever inquired on a property in Brisbane, Cronus has pretty much got their number, because they, you know, they would have, you can find out Mrs. Jones. So you type in, let's say, you, for example, we type in Ray and we type in, Ray lives on that street. Bang, okay. We've got his phone number. Or you can get in the white pages, or the more personal way, write a handwritten card in it and put it in his letterbox that says, hi, Ray, I've noticed you've been on the market for 90 days. I'm sure you're getting 100 of these, but if I could spare 2 seconds of your time for a chat, can you please give me a call on the mobile?
Oh, I like that.
Or, Ray, please call me ASAP regarding your home. And then I put that one I told you about that been on the market for a year, I put 13 cards in their letterbox till they call me.
Yeah.
And then the wife said, can you call this prick? He is absolutely, he must have something to say. Got in front of them and I just sat there and I said, guys, why isn't it sold? And he was in sales and he said, mate, they're not salesmen. And I said, I tell you now, guys, and they'd been on the market with 3 different people. I got full marketing out of them, about $5,000 after a year on the market. I said, guys, if you're going to do, I want you to treat this campaign as if you've never been on the market. I want you to start afresh. I want you to pretend that I'm the first agent you've ever got in and we are going hell for leather. And that the whole year they had through that campaign, the maximum they had through was about 6 groups on a Saturday. So the first Saturday I had 14 groups. On the Wednesday night I had 9 groups, and on the second Saturday I had 14 groups. And, you know, it's just about putting energy back into a campaign. And that property, all those people could have come through it the whole last six months, but they never did. Do you know what I mean? So it is about marketing, and you've got to get people to invest in that marketing. There's no point in whacking it up as a standard listing or something. Get a premiere ad on realestate.com, make it look the best, get twilight photography and really show the property off, because the marketing works. You know what I mean? It's a no-brainer that if you get the vendor paid marketing, it benefits the client, and you're going to get more people through the house. So yes, it's one thing to get the listing, but you've got to have a strategy around, you know, that how you're going to be different to Phil, who's had it for 90 plus days and hasn't had an offer.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to what we were talking about before with questions. You know, guys, how many written offers have you had? None. Okay, that's concerning, because guys, if I would had your listing, at the least I would have brought you offers that you don't want.
At least something you can say no to. Absolutely.
You know, and he hasn't even taken the time to get it on paper. That concerns me a lot, guys.
Yeah.
You know, but don't bag the agents out, because again, they're great. I love bad agents in my area. I want more of them, because it makes my job so much easier when you go in, be on time, be punctual, and dress to the nines. So when you're going in there, you're going to make a first impression, like a great first impression on them, because that's 50% of the part the second you walk, before you even open your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's all presentation. They're like, oh my God, you are so enthusiastic about this house. And they're not anymore. You know, if you're getting someone that's already been on the market, they're not excited. They're deflated.
Patrick, they're probably petrified. They're probably gun shy. They don't really know where to leap, because, you know, when somebody's tried to sell and they may have even lost advertising money or marketing money or whatever it was, and they've had this really negative experience, they're not really sure where to go. And you've come out of the stalls, I guess, like somebody who probably doesn't know any better, putting 14 cards in a letterbox because you don't know any other way to do it. I need to get a result. I need to get this appointment. And, you know, you're probably using your God-given talents, I guess, and I've just written down two things, enthusiasm and confidence has probably won it for you. And after you started getting these results from a cold start, that would have given you a heap of confidence to tell you that you're on the right track and you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, well, we've got an agent in our office that I've hired. He's a family friend of ours. And look, he's a really nice guy. He's been in real estate 20 years. And he's struggling at the moment because he's targeting these high-end market. And the reality is, in that high-end market, if you don't have that presence, they are really tough listings to get.
Yeah.
And they're even harder to sell, because once you've got 4 or 5 of them, you can spread buyers around those higher-priced listings because there's not that many buyers. And I've said to him, I said, mate, get out of there. Get back to the you know, the stuff that first home buyers are buying, and people want to buy it. They're easy to list. They pay marketing and they sell. And what that's going to do is get your confidence back up that, hey, I can do this. I can sell houses again, because it's like anything. You know, if you don't like golf, like I haven't played much golf lately because I work too much at the moment, and I've got a kid. But, you know, your swing ain't the same.
No.
If you hit more golf balls, you're going to get better at it. And as you've heard it a million times, the more you're doing, the easier it is. It's harder to sell 3 houses a month than it is 9.
Sure, sure.
You know, like it actually is. Like once you're selling 9, it's just that energy you have. You're going to people, you're going, mate, what do you want? Mate, look, come on, mate. And it's really sharp. It's concise. People know you're a busy person and they know you're not bullshitting them. You go, mate, that's what the price is.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they want. And honesty is an amazing thing. Like John McGrath, I read his book and, you know, he's very transparent. Like I sold a house on the weekend and the couple bought it and I said to him, guys, I'm going to point something out to you before you make an offer. Definitely when these guys bought it, there was an issue with the roof. The roof's going to need replacing. Also downstairs, if you come down here, there was a water leak. This has been fixed. That's going to probably still come up on the building and pest, but I can tell you that it's been fixed.
Yeah.
When they made their offer, their offer was at $705,000, I had another offer at 7:10, and I told them they wanted 7:30. We got them to 7:20. It was done within 5 minutes. Do not delay offers. Get it done 10, 20 minutes. Boom.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes you've got to let people sweat, but I see agents, again, wait overnight to present an offer, wait, get on the phone, do it. You know, like, just get things done really quickly and don't, I guess, procrastinate too much.
Yeah, time is money.
Yeah, people love it. And then when that's happening, that urgency, people will think on the spot and they'll think good. And if you're honest and you're straight up, like the other day, like, put a price on things. People stop, put price on a property. You know, people want to know how much they want. And I do a lot of offers over, but when we have a buyer that wants it, they'll come in and they'll go, look, Pat, we want it. What do we have to pay, or what are we going to do here? You know, I'll say to them, look, guys, there's about four people making offers today. And I will actually select the best buyer. And I'll say, guys, look, I think you guys are the best buyer. A, you want it the most, and you've told me your finances are in the best order. I'm happy to just not even entertain these other offers. They want 8:30. Will you pay it? And I reckon, I don't know, 60 to 70% of my negotiations are done that easy.
Yeah.
They go, two conversations, bang, done.
with the whole offers over thing, I remember talking to agents about that in Brisbane 10 years ago, and they looked at me like I was from outer space. But coming from Melbourne, where we auction so many properties, the offers over, instead of, I don't know, that property that, let's say, is 750, instead of that starting at I don't know, 8:25, it starts at offers over 7. It obviously, and I'm telling you something that you already know, but it totally opens up your market to the point where you may have competing buyers and a little bidding war going on within a week or 10 days.
Right. Well, again,
especially in a market like this. Sorry to interrupt.
No, yeah, you're right. Like, I was just at a listing last night, this gentleman I was just telling you about before, and I don't go to auction all the time, but I said to him, look, this house is perfect for auction. And I said, look, what do you want for it? I think it's a 1-2 kind of property, 1.2, 1.3 maybe, optimistically. He said, look, Pat, we're very realistic. We want 1-1 minimum. And I said, I'm glad you said that, because now I want to go to auction, and I'll tell you why. Because, A, we can attract buyers in around the million, and you can attract buyers that are over the million. And when you're bringing 950-plus buyers up in that 10% bracket, I said, mate, it makes for a great amount of competition. So you can do that with a price and without a price. But, yeah, a lot. I think, you know, the goal is again, creating that barrier where you're bringing buyers from a lower price point up, and the price point out down. So, like, you know, high sixes in this case.
Yeah.
And because the hidden price point on realestate.com is 700. So people that are 650 plus are going to come to that, and people that are over 7 are going to come to that. So you've got, you know, twice the amount of buyers rather than people putting the hidden price point at 750. You see it so many times, and they have no one around for 3 weeks, and that's when you lose. That's your goal, time to sell the house.
Yeah, but absolutely. But it's our job to market. I mean, it's not, we're not valuers or appraisers of property. Our job is to market and have as many buyers ready to go there as we possibly can. So, you know, I think that makes a huge difference. What are you doing there? Are you going for a drive?
Sorry, I had to turn the aircon on. It's boiling.
Oh, is it? Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Do you want to head back inside? I can press pause.
No, we're good.
Okay. We're good. Gosh, it's nearly half an hour. This time's been flying. Okay. A couple more questions. You've said so many things that I've written down questions for. I don't know if I'm going to get time for them all, but I'll do my best. So, Patrick, tell me, you're getting all of these contacts, you're building all of these relationships. What are you using for a CRM at the moment to keep all of this data and all of these contacts, keeping in touch with everybody? How's that working? What are you using? Yeah,
at the moment, mate, it's not working. We've been using Renet, and it's not something that really... It's very analog, so it's, you know, almost like, you know, an Excel spreadsheet to a degree.
Okay. Okay.
But it's just not working. So we've just bought Locked On.
Okay.
The bloke, the whole idea about it is having clean data, and the problem with Renet and 22 offices for Coronas is we've just been throwing everything in there, and you know, it's kind of messy. With this, it'll be So I've got, in that time that I've been here, I've only got 700 contacts. Right. So 700 unclean data. So we're going to clean that. It's probably going to come down to, my gut feeling says 300. Marcus Ciminiello from Marshall White, he goes back to, you don't need a big database. Again, he's selling high-priced property, but it's still the same. Like, you don't need a massive, massive database. You just need a clean database.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone you kind of speak to has, you know, depending on where they're in, but if you had 500 good contacts, I think you can you know, do something with that. And I guess I'm at the stage now where I have probably, you know, maybe 200-300, and we just need to clean it and get it right, communicate to all those people once, and then automate it with this locked on. Because again, we can just send text messages to our vendors. We can, it's just another level of, I guess, ease and communication. Like, at the moment, it's very analog. So I have to, if I want to text all my vendors or all the buyers after an open home, I've got to physically, like, I had 23 groups at an open home the other day. So I send a text to every single one of those, add all the phone numbers in, and then send a text. Hi, this is Patrick from Coronis. Thanks for coming through 21 Viney Street. If you have any interest in the home or would like to make an offer, please give me a call. And then I have the link to the realestate.com link to the property as well.
Yes.
That goes out to my buyers. Now, I physically, manually have to do that every single open home. So 6 open homes on a Saturday.
Wow.
It's annoying. So with this locked on, we can do it from an app, bang, send a text,
done. Yeah, it's done and dusted. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, there's a lot of other features there that you'll be able to discover if you haven't already, that you'll be able to use as well. So
very excited. But especially like the mass email stuff to your buyers and, you know, sending the big thing for me, like, that grabbed me was, imagine – like, sending out to, you know, because you need to think about how many people inquire. Last 12 months of buyers, send out an email that says, styling your home for property.
Yep.
For sale, sorry. And, you know, 10 people click, bang, 2 listings.
Yes.
Know, just little stuff like that. It's just so exciting.
Yeah. So you're talking about a blog that you've written on your website and you're spreading the word using like a newsletter or something?
Yeah. Yep. Through Facebook and the stuff we do now as well. So we're just starting all that.
Excellent. So what's the next big thing for you? What are you focusing on at the moment? I mean, you're obviously learning from these other guys like Marcus who've been in the industry for a while and doing some pretty incredible numbers. What's in your game plan? What's next for Patrick?
So getting, I guess, this attraction agent now is my goal, and trying to get the processes right, the checklists, and so that everything's just so uniformed and easy. So when a listing comes in, a PAMP goes out to it, so like a pre-listing kit sent within an hour with a video. Like, we're trying to make things next level, and then from there, every one of my team, so I've got a full-time buy manager and a PA, getting them and their processes right, and including my own, and a proper prospecting plan. So rather than, I guess, the last year, you could call it anarchy almost, of mess, whirlwind, the girls call me. you know, I come in and I find things to do. I'm this. We're going to get some real structures around the business now, so that, you know, if you want to go to that million-plus, $2 million level, every single person you see, they're very, very strict, and they're very, you know, from the X to X, we do this. Then from this, we do this. If this happens, we do this. It's just, you know, automated. And
yeah. I don't systematized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great word. And then, it's just, I guess, trying to put everything on paper and then, you know, you can go and see a million people that train and you might take one thing from each of them. Well, I've written all them down and I've kind of made up my own blueprint, which I'm happy to send over to you as well.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to put it on the show notes if you're cool with that.
Yeah, no dramas. And one of the simplest tools that I have in front of me is above my laptop. I have an Excel spreadsheet that's printed out on A3 paper. In there it has the quarter. So, and, you know, this quarter is your months, and it's got how many listings that I've got. So when I get a listing, I add it into that spreadsheet. So I need 8 listings a month. Once I get the listing, I add it into that. Once I get a sale, I add it in, and it reverse calculates from my target for that quarter. So this target's quarter's 250 GCI.
Right.
All you do is just put in the commission and then put in the address, and then it's got cooking listings as well. So that when you come in the morning, you look up in front of you and you got, how many listings have I got? How many? And that shows, oh, okay, I've got that. It's front of mind. It's the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's like a dashboard that tells you exactly where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're not looking at that every second of the day when you walk in the office, have I spoken to that cooking listing? Have I spoken to that? How's that deal going? And then when they go unconditional, when they get sold, I just change the little highlights of the colours and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's very, very simple, but probably the most important thing for a salesman is to be keep the ship steered to where you want to go.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like they say in NASA during a space launch, the most important person in the room is the person that knows what to do next. It's a bit like that in real estate, isn't it?
Yeah, like Marcus says, what's the next task or action that's going to make you more money? And if you're looking in front of listings and selling and cooking listings, that's what you should be looking at.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Excellent. Well, Patrick, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for sweltering in the car. Are you still in your suit? Are you in your jacket?
Suit, jacket.
40 degrees. Well, it's been a little top agent sauna, I think, today. So apologies for that. But thank you for sweating bullets on behalf of all of our listeners. You got terrific energy. I'm totally blown away at the kind of numbers that you've done in your first year. You're an inspiration, mate. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Talk to you later. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.